And have your Bible open at that place where our scripture reading was tonight in Exodus chapter 15. We'll get there in a little bit. Good to see all of you tonight. We've had some wonderful, wonderful lessons the last few days. And I am pretty confident that I could have twisted some arms and gotten us one more good lesson. But we've been reminded more than once that some of these guys aren't feeling as spry as they used to feel. And so I decided that maybe we'd let them relax a little bit tonight. Good to see all of you. I'm not going to preach very long, and I know you won't mind that at all. But do you have some favorite songs that you sing? I'm sure you do. This morning we sang number 18. That was one of the songs that we sang. And I believe that David Mayberry may have led it, I don't know, one night of our getting together. And I have to tell you that when Delane and I moved here, we had never sung that song before. And I tear up easily. And I think I was standing beside my daughter, Kelly, and we sang that song. And we got down to the chorus, and I just, I started tearing up when I sang that last part of the song. And it doesn't matter that it's been 4.5 years since the first time that we sang that song. I get to that verse, those thoughts, and I have that same reaction. People love to sing, don't they? I mean, hopefully God's people really, really love to sing. Over in Ethiopia, they don't have songbooks. And they don't have music, the words to music that are written out on pages for people to go through. And what will typically happen is that the song leader will get up and he will ask for some recommendations or for some songs that they would like to sing, and this one will say something and another one, and he'll point, and finally he'll decide on a song. And very often there, to help get us started on key and that kind of thing, one of the ladies from her seat may begin to sing, and then we'll join in, or the congregation will join in. And it's obvious that they love to sing, but they know all of these songs by heart. And I enjoyed that so very, very much. It reminded me when I was over there of when Delane and I were first married, and we went to see one of my friends, an older friend, not that much older, but an older friend, and they had three small children. And we were going to go out and do some kind of vacation type things, but on the way we were going to sing, they decided to sing some hymns. And one of their children spoke up and said, "Let's sing 215. Well, I don't know what 215 is. But those kids knew what 215 was. And so we sang. And with most of these songs, it wasn't just one verse. It was a couple of verses. And they sang out. And they were very happy as we were going along. And they sang. And then another one. And they were small children. "All right, let's go to 68. How about 68, Dad?" And so we'd sing 68. And it was wonderful. And it was obvious that they did a lot of singing together. And I got the idea that they were not just singing because it was pretty, but because it was meaningful to them and that they had learned to appreciate the words of those songs. I think that's surely got to be the case with all of those who are Christians, that we love to sing. We have looked at a song that was sung by the children of Israel as they came up from the Red Sea. And they looked back and they saw their enemies, how they were destroyed in the sea by God. And they rejoiced at what God had done for them. I want you to keep this in mind as we talk about our lesson tonight. You know, last week we spent some time examining the actions of David as they're described for us in First Chronicles. And we gave special emphasis
to his bringing up the Ark of the Covenant from Obed-Edom. King David, he understood, it was obvious, understood how important it was that the Ark should be restored to its proper place in the tabernacle in the midst of God's people. And, you know, a lot of people, oh yeah, I remember about the Ark. And what they mean is they remember about the Ark being shaken, the cart being shaken by the oxen. And they remember the mistake that Uzzah made and how that he reached out. And they remember that. They remember that story. But they don't think very much about when it was successfully transported in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And when you go to that section, you see how that they brought up the ark with great celebration and rejoicing and thanksgiving. And as you read that text, it is obvious that David realized how critical, how important doing this was. This matter was something that was ardently pursued by the people under David's leadership. It mattered a lot to him, and he wanted it to matter a lot to the people. But David used this occasion, brethren, to set in order the work of the Levites in assisting the priest around the tabernacle. And as a part of that, he used it as an occasion to give emphasis to the importance of praising God in psalms and through music. You know, before this time, we don't get the sense that singing and worship to God had really been very well organized. And I don't mean by that that the Israelites never sang. And I don't mean by that that they weren't taught to sing. They were. They did sing. And they were taught to sing. And they were given some important content to some of the things that they should sing about. We see an example of this in the book of Exodus in chapter 15. In the two verses that precede this, going to chapter 14, as you look in verse 29, it says, "The children of Israel, they had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And then Moses and the children of Israel, they sang this song to the Lord. And they rejoiced and they praised God and they spoke about His deliverance of them and how that He is able to triumph over those that would oppose His cause or His people." And this isn't the only occasion where we have this kind of rejoicing. Over in the book of Judges in chapter 5. And I'm not going to take the time tonight to turn over there. But when Deborah was involved in helping to deliver the people, we find that we are given a song of praise that is spoken. And part of that song spoke about how that God accomplished that. How that He delivered them on that occasion. You know, there's some important content in the things that were sung. And I believe that these are words of inspiration that we have in Exodus chapter 15 and also over there in Judges chapter 5. And there were other occasions. As the children of Israel were going from encampment to encampment, we find in Numbers chapter 21 that we see the people expressing their praise in song as God gave them water in that place. But turn with me, if you would, over to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We know that these concluding chapters, that there are some important things. The whole book is full of important things. But there are some important things that Moses wants to say to the people. But I want you to notice with me in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, I want to begin reading with verse 14. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him.' So Moses and Joshua went, and they presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers. And this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go in to be among them. And they will forsake me, and they will break my covenant which I have made with them. And then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods." Now notice, beginning in verse 19. "Now therefore write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel, when I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves, and they've grown fat. Then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them." And therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And as you come down to chapter 32, let's beginning in verse 30 of chapter 31 and look at the first few verses of chapter 32. "Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And here's the song. And I'm not going to read all of the song. You can see it goes all the way over to verse 44 through verse 43. But it says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." And it goes on and it talks about the days ahead and what was going to happen and the sins that they would commit and the punishment that would come upon them because they would not obey God. They would not respect him as they were supposed to. And so then as you get to verse 44, after you have all of the words of this song, it says, "So Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and he spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people." The singing of praise is not new. It was not new when David brought the ark up with great celebration and praise. It was not new at that time. And it was not a new thing that songs should instruct and that they should have meaningful content that would help the people. It would remind the people, not only remind the people about God and His greatness and His laws, but it would remind the people of how they needed to be careful about drifting away from Him, departing from Him. But turn with me then, if you would, to the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 16. It is in chapter 15 where they successfully have brought the ark up to Jerusalem. And in chapter 16, let me go ahead, begin reading with verse 1. "They brought the ark of God, they set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And then notice what it says in verse 4. And we noted this last week. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. This is kind of a... I really want to be careful the way I choose my words after the lessons that we've had the last few days. David is trying to help the people realize how important, how critical it was to praise God in a meaningful way. He knew that this was a work that deserved careful attention. But he wanted for there to be in their actions a commemorating, a thanking, a praising of the God of Israel. And we find that it's on this occasion where the ark is brought into the tabernacle that David gives unto them this psalm that you find as you drop down a few verses later. Beginning in verse 7, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. This is a wonderful occasion that you have here, the bringing back of the ark. And this psalm that's recorded here, beginning in verse 8 and going down through verse 36, was something that was read that day. Perhaps it was sung that day. We're not told exactly. But this is presented for them to use on this occasion. So that as we come down to verse 36 and verse 37, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen." And they praised the Lord. And so he left Asaph and his brothers there before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister before the Ark regularly as every man's work required. And we suggested last week the possibility that the giving of this work to Asaph and a large number of Levites that assisted him, I think we found that the number was maybe 288 who gave their time, night and day, all of their time to this work of music and singing and worship to God. And I think maybe even we see kind of some of the marks of the beginning of the book of Psalms at this place. And we should understand there were a lot of Psalms that already had been written. They already existed, and I'm sure they were already being used to a certain extent. But there is going to be even more added to them by David himself, by Asaph, by the sons of Korah, by Ethan and Heman and others. And we know that there are directions for the use of these psalms. There are musical notations of different types that are attached to them. But David was trying to get the people to realize how important this worship was. He was trying to get the people to understand that their view of God, their understanding of God, should be one that would cause them to want to praise Him and thank Him and humble themselves before Him. And we're going to be continuing these on Sunday nights talking about this. I want to give attention to the Psalms. But brethren, one cannot praise God without knowing about God. We can't understand why it is that we should be thankful unless we realize what it is that He has done. The blessings that He bestows upon us, unless we understand something about His nature. And what we find in the Psalms is that there is a incredible amount of information about God and His works, about His character, about His attitudes, His attitude towards sin, His attitude towards those that seek to walk righteously, His attitude towards those that
are willing to humble themselves. The book of Psalms, even though it is a collection of things that was used in praise of God, as well as private devotion, it is instructive. These songs are instructive for us to consider. And I hope that we'll be able to see that as we go forward. I appreciate that this is a group that loves to sing. But singing doesn't mean anything unless we sing as Brother Curry talked about this morning. Unless it is singing with an understanding of what we're singing. Unless we realize the purpose of why we are going through these songs that we offer up to the Lord and that we sing to each other. And that we're trying to remind each other and encourage each other in all of these things. A song of invitation has been selected. And there's a reason why we're going to sing a couple of verses at least of this song. And that is because we have a kind of a tradition. It's a tradition that's very appropriate. That when there's the teaching of God's Word, we never know. But what there might be someone that recognizes that this would be an opportune moment to obey the gospel, or this would be an opportune moment to get their life back on track and be what God wants them to be. And if you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never been baptized into Christ, why don't you do that tonight? Why don't you think about doing that tonight? If there's something that we can do to encourage you to be what you should be as a Christian, that you haven't been serving the Lord as you need to, then we hope that if need be, that we can be helpful to you. But anyone that needs to respond, won't you come while we stand?